It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, a final hour of power right here on the Team 980.
Steal that for a whole fucking hour power.
Brat.
He's so mean to me. I mean, for all the good that I do, so mean to me.
I can't hear. Did you turn my sound off? Oh, there it goes.
You have to actually have to plug your earbuds into the jack. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how that works.
Man. 1 hour left. It's been an interesting week. We still have to let you all know what the committee came up with overnight.
Yeah. Yeah. Linnell's Super Six Pack. Did the Commanders actually make your prestigious committee rankings?
We'll see.
See, I now know, Matt, yesterday I found out a couple of things more. I now know where he got this committee bit.
You are the
He stole it from the guy that he idolizes, Nick Wright on FS1, that 4,000 people watch every day.
CK, I'm sorry.
In a country of 370 million.
Chris Russell, you are a bastard. What? Are you kidding? Your name's Christopher Russo, and you go by Chris Russell because there was a better man than you, and he took your bit, and you couldn't use his name. Since you want to... How dare you?
What is that?
How dare you?
With you?
How dare you?
Pillaging concepts off of everybody.
How dare you in an attempt to attack my character, in an attempt to attack my hard work that I do? How dare you try and peel the curtain back on one of the feature segments of my radio program? Are you kidding me? The audacity that you have. You whiny brat. I cannot believe you. How dare you? And Matt, you can cut my mic off if you want. My voice is so bassy and loud that you're
going to
hear me anyway,
because
I'm the Messiah.
Oh, God.
Have we calmed down?
I'm better.
Are we allowed to turn on his mic again?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm all right.
All right, there you go.
How dare you?
See, Matt's going to censor you again. It's like the vice presidential debate. You won't stop talking, so we got to turn off your damn microphones. Anyway, let's go back to the phones. Bring some sanity back in the show, maybe. Let's go to Dump Truck Don next up. Dump Truck, how are you?
Finally, after 45 minutes of being on hold, I must like you guys.
Well, thank you, Dump Truck. Blame it all on Linnell. He won't shut up.
No, it's not all his fault. You like to talk, too.
It's my show.
Yeah.
This just in.
Yeah, I know. I get that. Of all the people I think y'all are, like, sleeping on, I think you're sleeping on Brandon Coleman. That dude's been very effective. You know? Like, you haven't heard. He's been in the game, and nobody's mentioned the fact that the offensive line is, like, ranked, like, 15th or 12th or something like that.
No, we've mentioned it. They're number one in run block win rate, number eight in pass block win rate. I mean, the problem is Brandon Coleman's playing about half the game, and half the time people don't know unless they actually see the back of the uniform, whether it's Cornelius Lucas or Brandon Coleman. Now, I will say this. Brandon Coleman had a couple of pancake blocks in Cincinnati. I didn't notice him as much on Sunday. Cornelius Lucas, I thought, had a couple of really, really interesting seals and power blocks and pancakes, if you will. On last Sunday. So until Brandon Coleman plays 75-80% of the game, 100% of the game, he's not going to probably get as much notice or as much credit as he deserves. And by the way, Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network, who I think knows a thing or two, was singing Brandon Coleman's praises the other day.
Yeah, that dude's doing his job, man, and I appreciate that. Yeah, that's about all I can say. I'm glad to hear Paulie. I ain't heard Paulie's voice since July because I'm still working nights, but they got me out here today. But, yeah, shout out Toothpick and the First String Podcast and all that good old stuff.
All right.
Y'all be safe, be prosperous. Make memories, not excuses.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate
it. Make memories, not excuses.
So, Dump Truck Don waited 45 minutes on hold
to come on and shout out the First String Podcast. You know,
I mean, I love Toothpick, but you know, like, I mean, it's like Little with whatever he tries to promote. You know, guys, this is a
Chris Russell, all, big fella.
It's a radio show on a public radio station, right? Like, you know, we do a service around here. We are part of the fabric of the community. Okay, we are serving the public.
You're an industry player,
but we get to determine how we serve the public, right? We get to determine whether you're on the show or not. And we're very much nicer. Very much nicer? We are much nicer.
Hope the kids aren't listening.
We are much nicer to you than most other radio shows. And yet all you people do is complain.
Yeah, because you allow...
I get a lot of that in my life.
You allow people to complain to you. That's nice of you. Thanks.
It's what 51 years of seasoning gets you.
You're 51.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah, which means I'm twice as smart as you.
You know, you are old.
And twice as old as you.
Yeah, since you've been winning all your fancy awards, you never even show up on the show anymore, huh, big guy?
All my fantasy...
Sure.
Oh, Jay.
Well,
I got you.
I predicted your big Monday night performance, by the way. And I got to thank you.
He was the only one, Jaden.
I mean, sure. If you listen to the pregame show, which you should, because where else are you pregame? Hey, I'm trying to pull it together, but I am Rick. I am so upset. And Matt keeps playing these stupid-ass songs to try and chastise me about things that have been lost. Do you all realize that I can't get in my house? I can't get into my vehicle?
Well, whose fault is this?
According to Paulie, oh, no. I live with my parents. According to Paulie, I'm just some tub of goo that lives in a basement.
I mean, listen, I genuinely feel bad for you, but that's why I was trying.
You genuinely feel bad for me. You're literally sitting over there playing swords with the producer every time he puts on a nice song that chastises me losing my keys. Notice how he says nothing. It was a 9 month in 6 week pregnant pause.
Here's
makes it 10 months.
Here's the thing. Either
means you're overdue.
Either we could be miserable and angry, or we can try and have a little bit of fun at your expense.
Lean into the bit.
Lean into the bit.
I choose to have a little bit of fun. I choose to
have. I'm going to lean into something, all right? There's going to be a bunch of feathers flying around here.
I choose to have
a little bit. I'm going to put you in a deep fryer.
A little bit of fun at your expense.
What deep fryer do you have that uses feathers?
That can fit the rooster in it. None. Chris, thank you, because I could be fuming about it. I could be incapable of doing the show, which I almost am. I mean, you all think about it. If you were at work at your job, like I am right now, and you realize that, oh crap, when I'm done arguing with this cage monster, I have to figure out my real life while also preparing to entertain you spoiled brat fans. Tomorrow night.
Would you rather talk about Davante Adams coming to Washington?
Don't be a donk.
Would you rather talk about the Orioles sucking in the postseason again?
Matt, you better get it in. You better get it in because this is a good moment just to rail me. In terms of the drop.
All right.
To this.
Are you?
Oh, now Matt just jumped out of his seat and screamed no Diddy.
I just have a question for you. Are you going to be ready in about 7 or 8 minutes to deliver the committee's rankings?
The committee. According to you, there is no committee.
Bastard.
I cannot believe you would do that.
What?
For you to completely come and try to undress my bit is insanity. Why would you try and undress my bit the way that you did? You think it's funny? You sit over here laughing. You're all red in the face. That's okay. I got something for you. I got something for you.
Listen, I try and ask you serious questions, and you're not interested in discussing them. You know, I mean, I have the whole show.
Here comes Eddie. Here comes Eddie the official. I almost lost my job.
I have the whole show. I have the whole show mapped out.
I can't. I during these breaks, I've been swearing like a sailor.
Yeah, I know.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
My life is lost.
I have the whole show planned out. You won't let me get to it.
Did I just get a? Was that? You guys.
Another example.
You know what?
All right. So here's what I wanted to get to. Ben Standing of The Athletic wrote this as part of a mass beat reporter of the interested or so perceived to be interested teams for Davante Adams, what a possible trade could look like. And I know Linnell dismissed completely on yesterday's show that Davante Adams would come here, and it certainly does not look like he wants to be here. It's said to be the Jets first, duh. No surprise there. New Orleans and then other teams lining up after that. And supposedly, based on everything that I've read, the Commanders haven't even reached out. Now, that could be just they don't know that they have, or it could be that they literally haven't. But I was curious to see what Ben Standing's answer in The Athletic was. So I wrote it down in our little show planning notes here.
Mm-hmm.
And he suggested that it would take a conditional 2025 third round pick, a 2026 seventh round pick, and ready? Diami Brown to get Davante Adams from the Vegas Raiders. What would you say? Now, we don't know what the conditional third round pick would be based on.
If this was it, I'd do it. Yeah.
If that was so,
if this is all you wanted from me was a third, basically, I'd do it. We have two thirds.
Right. We have two thirds, and one of them right now is like the fourth or fifth pick overall in the third round.
Well, I think that would depend. Well, since it's a conditional third.
Right. Well I'm saying, really like, I'm saying like right now, that's the two picks that they have. One would be later in the third round, their own, one would be from Philadelphia via Miami, and it would actually depend on Miami's ultimate record, which isn't very good right now. So that's why I say, like, right now it would be top five-ish in the third round, and then they would have to figure out, okay, if it's a conditional third-round pick, as Standing wrote about, in The Athletic, what are the conditions, which of the two picks?
Yeah,
you know, there's all sorts of things that we could mess around with. But if I told you it would cost, say, the higher of two third round picks in 2025, a 2026, not even a 2025, a 2026 seventh rounder, and Diami Brown, who's done absolutely diddly poo in four games.
He's really not done much of anything. The Cincinnati had a key. Okay. He broke a tackle on the screen and put him in a fourth and manageable.
Okay, fine. All right, he made a couple of catches.
Couple blocks.
He was also a free agent at the end of this year, right? You would make that trade then?
Yeah, 100%. Why not? That's it?
I mean, that's...
You're the one that sat here and cried about how, you know, you don't want to pay him and you want to give up draft capital, and you all think that, oh, we got to have every third-round pick because every third-rounder Adam Peters drafts is a Hall of Famer.
No, I would be more than willing to give up Diami Brown. A seventh-round pick? Yeah, I mean, a conditional third-round pick, again, depending on what the structure of the deal is, what the wording of the deal is, that I would be a little bit more... I don't know if conservative is the right approach or what have you.
I would run with this deal to the league office.
You would, yeah, this no problem. Now, one thing that I don't know if we asked, if we discussed yesterday when we were talking about this, would you immediately give Davante Adams rip up the final 2 years of his contract, which costs about $36.5 million each year but doesn't contain any guaranteed cash? Would you rip that up and give him a new, I don't know, four-year contract and maybe, say, guarantee $60 or $70 million over the next 2 years virtual guarantees? Would you do that, or would you make him play it out?
This is my thing with you. You asked that question. And you sat here yesterday and you talked about how you didn't want to pay him because of the injury history. And then you asked me that question. Teams that make trades for guys don't end up like the Jets, is all I would say. I mean, pay him, yes, because I'm all about avoiding distraction. And trading for him and not giving him the contract, you are.
I mean, I.
All right. So you would pay him immediately. Yes. You would not Hassan Reddick him.
I don't think Joe Douglas would want right, to Hassan
here,
Reddick.
Here's my question. Here's my question. Why do we have to pay him more money or different money or guarantee anything when he's paid $36 million a year over the next 2 years? And if he's as good as everybody thinks he is, as good as his history, and age is not a thing, and injuries are not a thing, and his personality and his diva-ness is not a thing, you should have no problem earning that money, right? $36 million a year, even if it's not guaranteed. But instead, he's going to come in with his agent, whoever his dumb agent is, and say, nope, we can't play possibly for $36 million on the books. No. We have to get guaranteed money. So unless you're going to fully guarantee us 70 of that $72 million, we're not going to play for you. We're going to hold out. We're going to cause a problem. We're going to cause a stink. And yet you're going to be sitting there like a seal clapping and going, all that, right? Because he can do whatever
really
he wants.
It's really not, though. Because because the next 2 years, he's slated to make $50 million in cash. That's $25 million a year.
I don't know what numbers you're looking at. I gave you the numbers yesterday off of OverTheCap.com.
This is from SportTrack. This is just his 2 year cash for the next 2 years.
All right, I don't care about cash. I'm talking about what he is due in base salary. That's what I'm talking about. So I don't know how they're getting numbers.
His base salary for this year. Oh, you're saying for next year? Okay, so next year that
well
number
for the
does
next for the
scream.
Next 2 years
that number jumps up massively.
He's yeah.
okay. So
for
let
the
me,
next
let me,
two
let me
years,
not-
he's scheduled to make almost $36 million and then almost $37 million in base salary. Are you okay?
I just got something in my eye, but you're right though. Okay, I was not shocker. One time you got me. I was not paying attention to... No, I'm not giving him a new contract. No, I would not give him a new contract.
Whoa, you're not?
I mean, next year, you see, year's base salary is $10 million higher than CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Matt, he says he's not giving him a new contract, but I thought Devontae Adams was one of one and he could do and get whatever he wants.
But like,
because
hold on.
He's better than you.
I forgot. What? Like this, he's not asking... For a new deal, though, either. Like, he wants to get traded because the quarterback situation
I mean,
is bad.
There have been some people that have speculated
no room
that.
To ask for a new deal.
There have been people that have speculated that because he's that unhappy.
Chris, he has no room to ask for
right,
a new deal.
Right, but that he's unhappy because he knows he doesn't have any guaranteed cash left. Now, that's speculation. I don't know. But would that shock you? I mean, Trent Williams, as good of a guy as Trent Williams. Trent Williams has not wanted to play for non-guaranteed. I mean, he bitched and moaned about it in San Francisco, got himself a new deal or an adjusted deal. Bitched and moaned about it here in Washington, got himself out of Washington. I mean, you know, like we shouldn't put it past the great players of this game that they don't want to just play for the contracts that they sign. When they sign it, they want to play for nothing but pure guaranteed stone cold cash, right? So maybe I'm lumping Devontae Adams into that group. I don't know. The bottom line is, listen, I don't think he's coming here. We said that yesterday. I do think they should at least explore it, and if they haven't, I would be surprised by that. One situation that we discussed yesterday was whether Terry McLaurin would be the guy going back to the Vegas Raiders. And I think if, again, you're going to make a move like this, it is to get appreciably better. You're getting better if you're adding Devontae Adams over Terry McLaurin, but you have to then look at the dead cap hit for trading a guy like that, number one. Number two, are you really getting better? I mean, you're getting better, but are you really significantly getting better? Is it absolutely pushing you over the edge? And I would say, I don't know that because Devontae Adams has never been that kind of a... I mean, he's been a great receiver, but he's never been somebody that has been single-handedly able to elevate a team from, you know, 10 or 11 wins in Green Bay with a great quarterback and push them to playoff wins all over the place.
He was the only weapon in Green Bay for years.
Besides Aaron Rodgers and besides Aaron Jones and besides the great tight ends that they used to have or the good tight ends that they used to have, Chimera. Who's the other guy that they used to have? I'm trying to think.
Bottom line is I think you're devaluing Devontae Adams' impact on the team.
Well, let me ask you this. Solely and individually, is Davante Adams, does he have a
he's one of those look at what he did last year with the quarterback
look at what it got the Raiders is what I'm saying.
Because the rest of their team was terrible.
I understand that, and that's the point.
The wide receiver is not a position that's going to impact wins.
But you have to surround him is what I'm saying.
Wide receiver is not a position that impacts wins. Like, it's not.
Well, then we can't pay guys $37 million a year.
The market is the market, Chris. Like, come on. Don't play that fight. Because now, if you want to start talking about the money.
Not everybody gets
If you want to start talking about the money, relative to what the damn National Football League brings in, the players are underpaid. And you know that. You know how much damn money they are bringing in on top. What the players are making, you can make an argument they should be getting more damn money.
They certainly
look at the NBA.
Yeah, they certainly.
The powers in the NBA PA have a lot more brass stones than the guys in the NFL PA because the contracts that they have been able to negotiate and the way that numbers have gone up in the NBA marginally better.
Every team only has 15 players, right? Compared to 53 and then 60 and then 16 on the practice squad.
I didn't think about that much, did I?
I just want to make sure.
You're sitting there crying about money when in reality the NFL is pimping the players.
322 on the team.
How much money the NFL brings in yearly compared to what the players
we'll
are making?
We'll continue along with Grumpy McStuffins right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. It's been a feisty show. Surprise. On a Throwdown Thursday. Thankfully, only a half an hour left to go before the real fun begins. Coming up, a Thursday night football preview. We'll fold that inside of cleanup on aisle 3. But first, did the Commanders make the prestigious, the revolutionary, the most game-changing segment ever on sports talk radio? The committee has been hard at work stealing ideas and repurposing them as their own. The committee.
I mean, you don't. You may not make it to Friday's show.
Nell's Super Six Pack. 3, 3, 2, 1.
Doc, you be ready tomorrow, 1 to 4.
Hey, I could use tomorrow off. I would enjoy that. I could just sit back at home, drink a couple of beers, maybe go out to lunch. What has the crack committee come up with? Or the Committee on Crack this week.
I'm opening up, as you can hear.
This isn't the Emmys.
The official rankings.
Just give us the damn names.
For week number 5
did the Commanders make it?
Our honorable mention, 3 teams not fly enough to get into the club. 2 of them battled each other on Monday night. Seattle, love what Geno Smith is doing. Best quarterback in the NFC, despite what shock jock Damian Woody had to say. I think Seattle's playing well. They're banged up. They may be in Nell's Super Six Pack in weeks to come. Buffalo, tough loss. They were number 2 in Nell's Super Six Pack last week. They are not fly enough to get in the club after getting beat down by the Baltimore Ravens. And then the Detroit Lions, playing well, dealing with their own injuries. Not quite a top 6 team, in my opinion, though. It's a tough list to crack. Coming in at number 6, dropping in the rankings.
That committee is really, really difficult.
Dropping in the rankings, C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans coming at number 6. Mm. Previously number 3. Mm. Not a convincing enough win for my liking against a desperate Jaguars team.
Got to win 7 in.
Their offensive line has had issues. They also banged up. No Joe Mixon, no Damian Pierce, a lot of Cam Akers. Well, watch the Houston Texans. Kamari Lassiter, by the way, who should be a Commander because we shouldn't have drafted Johnny Newton.
I saw you out there going, Kamari Lassiter should have been a rookie.
Number five. Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield and company whooped up on the Philadelphia Eagles. It was a dominating performance. I am thrilled by what I've seen out of this bunch. And it honestly makes me feel better about Washington, seeing how well Tampa Bay has actually played. They're also super banged up in their secondary still. But they're clear-cut one of the top teams in the NFC. Number 4, The undefeated Minnesota Vikings making their debut in Nell's Super Six Pack. Last week, enough for me to get them to crack the rankings. Sam Darnold playing good ball.
Some of us have had them on their on the
had
list.
Some lists are better than others.
Yeah, exactly.
Some
like
lists,
mine.
Some, yeah, well. Oh, do you hear that? The trumpet's telling me to continue. The Vikings, to me, have the coach of the year front runner in Kevin O'Connell. And Brian Flores will be tied with Cliff Kingsbury for the best assistant coach in football through the first 4 weeks of the season. They come in number four. Number three, the Baltimore Ravens, 2-2, worst record in Nell's Super Six Pack. But did you see what they did to the flavor of the week Buffalo Bills? The only team talked about more than Washington is Buffalo. They pounded them on Sunday night. Their running game has been awesome. We'll see Baltimore here in about 11 days, 10 days. We'll see the Ravens.
Grab number two. On.
Oh, my gosh. The committee made a massive, massive mistake. The committee made a massive.
That's a shocking development mistake. If I've ever heard of one.
But no.
Like I said, it's not a crack committee. It's a committee on crack.
Coming in at number two in Nell's Super Six Pack, my top 16.
The Oklahoma Sooners. The Alabama Crimson Tide.
Coming in at number two in Nell's Super Six Pack is actually a team that was not fly enough to get in the club last week.
Did you drink a six-pack before this segment?
No, I did not. I have been thoroughly impressed, and I know this is going to make some people go, huh? I like what the Niners have done. Here's why I had the Niners second.
Huh?
If I would have told you back in August that through 4 weeks, Brock Purdy would have played significant time without Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, and he would be second in the NFL in passing yards, you'd tell me, what the hell are you talking about, Linnell? That's the case right now for the 49ers. And their defense hadn't even come to the party yet. Their pass rush is as bad as ours. Convincing win on Sunday over the Patriots. Yes, it was a tough loss against L.A. They've pushed the Vikings closer to the brink than anyone all year long. So we'll see.
I would have liked the 49ers a little bit more if they would have found a way not to throw up all over themselves in Los Angeles. But that's me.
The list is fluid, people. Okay. And then number one, Kansas City Chiefs. Mm. Until further notice, that is the best team in the National Football League. Another really good win. They're 4-0. For all the problems that you think they're having, for Rashee Rice not being available,
Rice's mother is available.
The offensive
She's
line
stealing
being
packages
remade.
Off of people's stoops.
Who knows if that's actually her? Innocent until proven guilty. Let me tell you this about the Chiefs, though. Two of the next three, home for New Orleans, at San Francisco, and then they're home for Tampa Bay. You're going to find out here quickly.
Without Rashee Rice, without Isaiah Rice, Pacheco, with Travis Kelce still not having woken up from his Taylor Swift slumber.
In the combined records of the team that they've beaten, pretty good.
So the Commanders not only did not make the top six teams, they didn't even get honorable mention
in the ever-expanding... Can I ask you this? Do you think Washington's better than Seattle? I wouldn't say that.
I would say Seattle has not played anybody either until Monday night, and then they lost and gave up 42 points.
Also scored 29. But their quarterbacks play really well. Their defense is going to be good because of their defensive-minded head coach.
Right.
Buffalo has been a juggernaut to start.
But Washington's defense is not going to be good. They don't have a defensive-minded head coach.
I think that's not what I'm saying, Chris. I'm saying Seattle's got better defensive personnel.
Okay.
They do.
All right.
So do all of the teams that are better than Washington, including Buffalo, who's injured at every level of their defense. They still have better personnel than Washington. And they're going to be without Von Miller. The Lions,
we'll see how good they are.
On paper, defensively, should be a top 10 unit.
Yeah. All right.
So,
okay. So
those are the honorable mentions teams.
Did the Commanders make number 10? I mean, did the committee
Would the Commanders have been the 10th team?
Yeah.
I have to go. Let me.
You have to consult with the committee.
We'll see. Who was the 10th team?
I don't need you to open up any envelopes. I need you to answer the question. We're late.
The 10th team probably. Green Bay would have gotten heavy consideration. Pittsburgh would have gotten heavy consideration. New Orleans would have received heavy consideration. And then Washington, Atlanta as well.
I think the Jets are, for a guy, I was as high on the Jets as anyone. I'm so out on the Jets.
The Jets.
I'm out on the Jets.
Or a M-E-S-S.
Mess.
And it doesn't get any easier. They play the Vikings this Sunday morning in London. Cheerio! London football back. Time for a quick trending alert and then clean up on aisle three, in which we'll preview tonight's Thursday night game. All right, the Commanders once again back on the practice field today in Ashburn as they continue to tune up for the Cleveland Browns. There was no Brian Robinson early in practice. We'll await official word from the team in the injury report, but Austin Eckler was able to participate at least early on for Washington, again, as they get ready for Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns Sunday afternoon at 1 hour. Pregame coverage right here on the Team 980 begins at 9. You can listen to Linnell Willingham, the youngest in charge, and as well the Denton Day, a couple hours right before kickoff, and then during the game as well, Doc Walker post-game, taking your calls on your way out of Northwest Stadium. Hopefully, a happy ride home. Meanwhile, Thursday night football, which we're going to preview in just a sec, tonight in Atlanta between two NFC South teams, 3-1 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 2-2 Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons. 8:15, the kickoff, 7:30, our coverage is underway right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app via our friends at Westwood One. At 7 o'clock tonight, it is Game 3 of the National League Wild Card Round in Milwaukee once again. The Brewers extending the series with an eighth-inning rally and comeback last night. Will Jack Centurio hit another couple of home runs? The 20-year-old stud rookie just doing it all for the Brew Crew last night against the New York Mets. One game to decide it all and who advances to the NLDS. 7 o'clock, first pitch from Milwaukee, and that's what's trending. All right, we're wrapping things up here on a Thursday afternoon. Do we have time before we get to clean up on aisle three for to squeeze in one more or no?
Clean up on aisle three.
Yeah, one more? Okay. I think Lou has been on hold for a very long time, and I forgot about him. What up, Lou? How are you?
Wait, where's my
I'm good, man. I appreciate you taking my call, Chris. Yeah. I don't even care about being on hold. You know me.
I appreciate
it. Ain't nobody tripping about that.
Yes, sir.
But, yeah, I was kind of, you know, want to go back to that defensive side of the ball. And you guys, you know, mentioned about, you know, with one guy that I can't stand on that defensive side is number 25. And in 5 years and one interception, dude, you cannot tell me that, dude. And you guys telling me he's the best thing we got. I mean, come on, Chris. I mean, this guy literally don't even turn around. If he turned around, there's a chance he could intercept the ball.
I didn't realize until a couple of weeks ago that you hated Benjamin St. Just the way you do.
Not that I hate him, but he's trash.
Hate him in a football context, not hate him personally.
Yeah, it's just like he's not that good. I mean, you guys giving us the stats about him or this and that and third. But come on, man. One interception in 5 seasons, and he luckily – happen to learn how to punch the ball this season. All of a sudden, we're supposed to jump up and down like he's a top guy. Like, he looked good, but he doesn't turn. Like
he gets thrown at so much, though, Lou. Like, you got to give him credit. I give him a little bit of credit, man. He's the fifth most targeted defensive back in the NFL, and he hasn't given up any touchdowns.
You know what I would say about
why does it say he hasn't given up a touchdown? This is wrong.
Touchdown to Mike Evans.
I'm reading NFL Pro. They're saying he's given up no touchdowns. Interceptions. That's the interception category. He's given up 3 touchdowns.
It would help if you were
which
is second in the right category.
Which is second most of the NFL.
Here's the thing, Lou. Here's what I would say. Yeah. I think Benjamin St. Juice is better than what you think he is. Is he a big-time playmaker? No. Is he a big-time stud corner? Absolutely not. What I think he does is he has some big individual games where everything clicks. I'm thinking week 2 against the Giants. I'm thinking a couple of years ago, week 3 against the Eagles, granted in a 24-0 shutout at home. That's what I'm thinking. He has those type of games where everything goes well, but then he has plenty of games where, you know, obviously he gets beat, and he gets exposed a little bit, but remember, he's only a third-round corner, right? We treat St. Juice like he's a lockdown corner only because we have nobody better.
But I'm saying, Chris, if he could turn around all these touchdowns that he's good, like he's been giving up, if he could turn around, like literally, if he could turn around, if his IQ level of football is good enough, like if they could tell him just turn around, like if he turned around, there's a chance he could tip the ball to intercept it. Every time when I see him giving up a touchdown, it's like, how does he not turn around? Like turn around and play
not
the ball.
A lot of corners don't do that.
It's hard, Lou.
Because they're in trail and they're chasing and they're taught if you can't turn around, if you can't get your body in front, if you don't have that wall off positioning, then you have to read the receiver's eyes and hands and try and go through the eyes and the hands. Lou, we got to let you run because we're up against it. Appreciate you. Lou hated Ron Rivera. Could not stand him. But now, his new target, now that Ron is no longer here, is Benjamin St. Juice. Listen, Benjamin St. Juice is what he is. He's fine. He's solid. I would say that's a fair characterization. I wouldn't say he's very good or anything like that. Would you even say he's good or above? I would say he's above average.
Benjamin St. Juice
is above average. Fine.
He's all right.
He's all right.
He's all right.
Okay. All right. It's time for cleanup on aisle three. All the things that we need to get to, and there's only time to get to a few of them, so we'll do it now. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. Tonight, Thursday night, football in the House of Kirk. 8:15, 7:30 the coverage right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. It is an NFC South Battle Royale between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Winners last Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles and the Atlanta Falcons, also winners, but by the hair of their chinny chin chin on a last second Young Hoo Q field goal from 58 yards out. The Atlanta Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I just want to point this out. Todd Bowles yesterday ruled out five different players for tonight's game. Luke Getteke, their starting right tackle, has missed every game since week one when the Commanders concussion. Kalijah Kancey, Antoine Winfield Jr., Jalen McMillan, who has had a nice impact, Trey Palmer, who had a touchdown last week against the Eagles. Also, they're already short a linebacker, server, Sia Dennis, or however the hell you say his name. He's already on IR. So they're down six players on a short week on the road in the division against what I would say is a Falcons team that should have a certain level of urgency that I don't know if I've seen just yet. Do the Buccaneers, as good as their offense has been outside of that Denver game, do the Buccaneers have a chance to win this game in Atlanta with all of their injuries?
I don't know. That's a tall order against a divisional team. They had a hard-fought win last week where they beat up on Philly. I don't know. I think Atlanta gets them tonight. But I like Tampa. They're my Super Six pack.
I know. And if they're in your Super Six pack, I mean,
I'm Beyonce crazy in love.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if they're in the Super Six pack, then we should automatically bet the Falcons, right? I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right?
I think you're starting to see their philosophy change, man. Kirk threw the ball 35 times on Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's not the brand of football they should be playing.
Well, here's the thing. Bijan Robinson is either in a little bit of the Chateau Bowell or he's a little bit banged up, and I think it's more the latter that he's a little bit banged up, right?
Like the Chateau Bowell.
I would also say this. You know, 3.5 years into this thing, all you draft Knicks, all you draft dum-dums screamed and told me how Kyle Pitts was going to be the revolutionary, generational, game-changing. So far, he's been smellier than a dog's poop that I cleaned up on the sidewalk this morning. That's what Kyle Pitts has been. He doesn't play hard. He doesn't play hard. He's not consistent. He's not a big part of that offense because Kirk can't trust him. He doesn't fight hard for balls. He is basically everything that you kids love, which is a super slick, sexy-looking thing that occasionally turns the light switch on when he wants to. And that has survived on hype. That's what Kyle Pitts is. Now, that being said, he'll score two touchdowns tonight. I got the Atlanta Falcons only because I think the Bucs have a little more. I think the Bucs have a little bit more moxie than the Falcons do.
If the Bucs were healthy, they'd win.
Yeah, and being that this game is also in Atlanta, listen, I don't think this is going to be easy for the Falcons, but I think the Falcons do just enough to get by in this game, and you know, probably find a way to win it. I'll say 24-20, somewhere in that range. I do not think it is going to be easy. Kirk Cousins, to your point, 230 passing yards last week.
835 times.
I know. Against Tampa Bay, almost 900 career passing yards. That's almost an average of 300 per game. Seven touchdowns, six passing, one rushing, an interception, a 107.7 rating against, again, Tampa Bay. And, of course, you remember
you like that.
What happened against Tampa Bay back here in the Burgundy and Gold. Yes, indeed. I look for Tyler Allgeier to have a bigger impact on tonight's game. Drake London, I like. And watch out for Darnell Mooney. He has made some big plays for the Atlanta Falcons. And I think that Falcons defense is starting to come into its own. They've got a lot of talent. Matthew Judon made a big play last week. Jesse Bates, he's pretty darn good on the back end. Troy Anderson had an interception return for a touchdown 2 games ago, I think it was. And the Atlanta Falcons should beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, and the Mets and the Brewers in Game 3 tonight at American Family Field, which used to be Miller Park, in Milwaukee, 7 o'clock. And by the way, the question of yesterday when we asked about the 3-game series, whether it was unfair, all 3 games are at the higher seed. I was a little confused based on my memory.
Yeah, that's not fair.
All 3 games are at the higher seed.
That's not
so,
fair.
In other words,
1-1. It should be 1-1 home. It should be 1-1 high seed.
So check this out. The Mets were in Milwaukee last weekend for a 3-game series, then had to go to Atlanta to play a doubleheader. After winning on Sunday, they went to Atlanta to play a doubleheader on Monday and then back to Milwaukee to play Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And last night they had a lead going into the 8th inning and yacked all over themselves.
Blech.
And blew it. Tonight, I think the Brewers get the job done. They've got a little bit of momentum here. Jackson Churio is awesome. There's so much good young talent. If you watch the Royals-Orioles series, Bobby Witt Jr. is amazing.
Bobby.
If you see the Brewers come back last night, Jackson Churio is unbelievable. I can't wait to see. Hopefully, we get to see it sooner than later. James Wood, Dylan Cruz on the big stage and performing like some of those guys have. So I think the Brewers win tonight for what it's worth. Maybe the Mets will surprise me and come up with a big-time performance. All right, that is how we do it and how we wrap up shop here on
Clean Thursday. Up in aisle 3.
Coming up, dum-dum of the day.
D-D-O-T-D.
You should never do this, especially if you're a former NFL running back who used to truck people. We'll tell you what that is next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Matt, you can kiss my ass. I get older, but I don't get wiser. I mean.
Well, this one wasn't really for you. It's more just because our dumb dumb of the day today is a real anti-hero.
See, he doesn't even understand the whole theme. He doesn't understand the mastermind that is Matthew J. Essig. By the way, on the call,
does your name really start with a J?
It doesn't.
So why do you call him Matthew J. Essig?
You're so in love with fake names,
Chris
Russell.
Because
I do what I want.
Y'all go look up Chris Russell's Social Security number. It doesn't exist because there's no such thing as Chris Russell. It's a figment of this cage monster's imagination. It's almost like Kane. He's like Mark Calloway in The Undertaker.
By the way, in case you care about this thing, I don't. Jason Benetti, Greg Olson, and Pam Oliver on the call for Fox this Sunday at Northwest Stadium for the Cleveland
Greg
Browns
Olson and
the Washington Commanders.
Greg Olson
apparently, he was switched off the number one team, but apparently the number two guy that he's normal with, I think, is doing the playoffs or something like that. So we have to get
Pam Oliver's on the broadcast.
Yes, we have to get to something. We have to wrap up the show so that Craig's not late. Let's wrap it up now.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
What? Pam Oliver is a sideline reporter.
Yes, she's on the broadcast. Sideline reporter. She's on the broadcast.
You made it seem like she's doing playbook.
Oh, my God.
Christian.
Please stop. Remember Eddie Lacy? I remember Eddie Lacy. I was at a playoff game in 2016 after the Commanders won the division title in 2015, and Eddie Lacy ran all over the Commanders, then the Redskins defense in the second half for the Green Bay Packers. Well, it doesn't appear that Eddie Lacy's doing the right thing anymore because on Monday, he was thrown in jail. Cops claimed he was driving while intoxicated, but it was a little bit worse than that. They said they saw him committing several traffic violations. While being stopped, according to a police spokesman, he was ultimately arrested, booked on four separate DUI charges, including extreme DUI, which has a blood alcohol content level of 0.20 or more. He was taken into custody on a charge of liquor possessing an open container in a vehicle, and then he was released on Tuesday. Now, Eddie Lacy used to be one of the most feared physical backs. Did run for over 2,000 yards, 20 touchdowns in his first two seasons, second-round pick out of Alabama in the 2013 draft. He was never really able to fully sustain that early success, and he was ultimately out of the NFL in 2017 after spending time with the Seattle Seahawks. People, we say it all the time. Don't be a dumbass. Don't drive drunk. Don't drive extremely drunk. Don't do the things that Eddie Lacy did in a car. On the football field, different. In a car, don't do it.
Congratulations, you're Chris's Dumb Dumb of the Day.
That's right. Eddie Lacy, former Packer and Seahawk and NFL running back, arrested for extreme DUI.
Well, thanks for not making me the Dumb Dumb of the Day. Appreciate you.
Well,
all,
you
always.
Know, it was strongly considered, but the committee decided to do something different. And Nick Wright told us it was okay. 357 on the Team 980. Right, sure. Craig Hoffman coming up next. I'll see you tomorrow at 1 with Matt. Hopefully we'll have a little calmer of a radio show. And we'll have my dueling six packs. That's right. Revolutionary radio, baby. On a football feel-good Friday. We'll see you then. Adios.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.